it takes a lot of courage to be compassionate. You know, when somebody's spouse dies, you know, it can be uncomfortable having conversations with them and spending the time and showing the compassion to them. But it's so important on both a leadership level, but also a human level. So it can be very uncomfortable doing this. But the reward at the end of the day, both emotional and in your success, is tremendous.
Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hello, leaders, and welcome to this week's show. I'm joined today by Wade Thomas, CEO of Aim to Win. Wade has served as a strategic talent executive, guiding leaders to develop and shape organizations from their perspective of high-performance management, coupled with compassion and empathy. Wade is the author of From the Heart, a book about heart-based leadership with compassion and empathy at the center of your leadership approach. Wade joins me today to talk about the principles he discusses in his book and how we can leverage compassion and empathy in our day-to-day life as leaders. Wade, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rashad. I'm glad to be here.
Why don't we get started here? Why don't you start, Wade, by sharing something about yourself most people wouldn't know or would perhaps find surprising?
That's always a good question. I'm pretty transparent, so there's not a whole lot of surprises. But one thing is, I am a rule breaker. So, I think it's worth following rules that make sense. But I think, it's worth pushing the envelope as well. I think that's how a lot of progress happens. And so, I make that decision, on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of amazing discoveries that probably wouldn't have happened if everybody always followed the rules.
Exactly. I think that's what moves society forward.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's a good perspective. So talking a little bit more about your career and your business, you've had a successful corporate career over quite a number of years. I'm curious what the fork in the road was that led you to start Aim to Win.
Yeah, so, that's a great question. And I went up to a very fast trajectory. I held positions of responsibility in my 20s, was a C-level executive in my 30s, and just rose up the ladder. And every step I took along the ladder, I found I got further and further from my calling. I feel like my calling is to help people, to help leaders, and people get better at their jobs and what they do. And every step I went up, I got further and further away from that until I got to the top spot. And what I found at the top spot is, it was very much about, managing the political situation. It was about managing the regulatory, stuff. And it was a lot broader, and it really took me away from, coaching and helping people and the stuff I really enjoy doing. At the same time, it paid me a lot of money. And, that was a good thing. And so, I was able to put away a lot of that money, and it just got to the point where it made a lot of sense to not go for that next C-level job, but to go for my own business where I could help a lot more people, where I could really focus on, what brings my passion.
Definitely. So you kind of reached a point where it made sense financially, but personally and professionally as well, to step away from the corporate life and step into, as you say, helping more people and helping sort of yourself in your own passion. And you've written a book called From the Heart, and it talks all about heart-based leadership. So why don't you tell me, what does heart-based leadership mean to you?
So heart-based leadership is really the idea of leading with compassion and empathy at the core of what you do. So you know, incorporating it into how you manage people, how you manage performance, how you manage your own time, and communicate, basically all the leadership skills that we've been taught, and really putting that at the center.
Okay. And why did that kind of come up? Why did that become so important in your leadership and in what you're teaching?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question because there's a story behind it. And it all started the idea of the heart from the heart book and incorporating it in a more public way. It all started one day in a swimming pool. You know, one day last year, I'm sitting in a swimming pool and I'm kind of reflecting on, you know, my business, how I help people. And that took me down a path of, you know, why did I have the success that I did? You know, I had a steep career trajectory. Why? What happened? And when I really just dove into that and did a soul searching and just kept digging at the why, it really came down to the fact that I've always treated people with compassion. I've always empathized, you know, and that's created, you know, a strong sense of loyalty and engagement with the people that work for me. And really, there wasn't a whole lot of success in my career that I did by myself. You know, it was always a team success. I always had teams that just went above and beyond. And, you know, a big part of that was because they knew I had their back. You know, they knew that, you know, I could be tough. You know, I think if you surveyed people that worked for me, you would get that. I was tough. I could be difficult. It could be challenging. But they knew that I had their best interests at heart. They knew they were going to grow with me. And they knew they were going to be treated fairly and right. And so I took that and said, okay, now how can I teach that in a much broader way? And that was really the foundation of the book. And the book is all about, really takes it from a corporate perspective. How do you put heart-based leadership in your culture? And how do you do it, drive it throughout your organization? Because that's where the real power lies, is when you can get everybody on that same page and just drive it throughout everything you do in your organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly it has to start sort of with leadership, and it has to be something that becomes pervasive as a culture and is driven largely by people that are in a position to do so. But what are some of the ways in which you look for compassion and empathy to show up in leadership?
You know, it starts with the empathy. So it starts with understanding what your people are going through in a very real way. And so a leader can do that in, you know, a couple different ways. First of all is conversation. So the conversation is no longer, hey, how's it going today? Great. Okay, fine. Move on. You know, it's much deeper. You kind of get at that level. You know what's going on in your lives. And that is something, at least, you know, in my generation, a lot of times we're taught, and it's still being taught today, you know, keep the personal side at personal, keep the work side at work. But the reality is, you know, people aren't that way. You're not two people, you're one person. And so I first encourage leaders to really get to know the whole person. Figure out what's going on. What's their context? What's their paradigm? And just understand that. That's the first step of empathy. The second thing you can do on the job side of things is walk in their shoes. So go out there and experience what they're experiencing. Do the job. Walk alongside them. You know, no job is really too small for you to spend some time in. You know, get to know what's going on. That really brings about the empathy. Compassion is, you know, the other side of the coin. You know, the other side of the thing. You know, compassion is all about taking that empathy, but having a heart with it. So, you know, an example would be, you know, somebody loses a relative. You know, they've got 2 weeks of vacation. You know, that's not a whole lot of time. But the policy says you can only give them 2 weeks. Having compassion would be if an organization or a leader rose above that. Let them have the time they needed. Gave them the help and support. You know, being there for them as a person, more than just a leader, more than just an organization. You know, so that's the kind of a distillation of what we talked about in the book, you know, and how you can really be that heart-based leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for the illustration. And, you know, I'd like to kind of dive into it a little bit deeper just on a personal level. You sort of mentioned, you know, the successes you had and some of the experiences you've had in your career being kind of a leader. You were always tough on your people, but you know, had their back. So maybe if you have a specific example in mind that you could tell us about where you applied these principles in your leadership experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had quite a few. you know, starting with just that everyday conversation, you know, because one of the things I want to leave people with is compassion, empathy isn't this soft, weak set of leadership. It can be very strong. You know, somebody comes to me with an issue, you know, I may agree with it, I may disagree. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge them. I'm going to ask the questions. You know, how did you get to that? You know, even if I think they're right, I might tell them I think they're wrong. Because what I'm doing there is I'm helping them grow. I'm giving them compassion to help them grow in the way they think, their thought process. You know, I'm spending some time understanding their thought process as well. That's part of the empathy piece. So getting to know, here's how they think, and then working on helping them develop their own thought process. So one way I show compassion and empathy is challenging people. And, you know, that sounds a little bit, you know, not what people think about when it comes to compassion and empathy, but it really is very compassionate. Is being able to challenge that. And even when you have to make those hard decisions, you know, there's a lot of compassion that goes in that. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes sense. And I thank you for your illustration on your personal experience. I think we miss that a little bit sometimes too, right? Like the compassion doesn't mean, you know, like you say, the soft, squishy kind of ideas, right? Like it can be very compassionate to have a tough conversation about what's working, what's not. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's compassionate. It's not forceful, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right words to say in that regard, but like you're fooling yourself if you're avoiding the tough conversation. It's not compassionate. It's, you know, misleading.
It's misleading and lying to them. And you know, at the core of most people, they don't like to suck. And so, you know, if they're in a situation where they're not everything they can be, they're not going to be happy. And helping them out of that, whatever form that takes, is a very compassionate thing. The other thing too is, if you look at a team and you have somebody that maybe that's not cutting it or is underperforming, you know, it's not compassionate for them to sweep it on the rug and let them keep not performing, but nor is it compassionate for the people around them that are picking up the slack and are working long hours. And so making the hard decisions is a real big part of heart-based leadership.
And I'm glad you mentioned about, you know, the soft side of leadership or whatever, right? So, you know, a lot of times compassion, empathy, and emotional intelligence often gets lumped in with, you know, quote unquote soft skills. So, you know, since we're kind of on that little bit of a track, like what are your other thoughts on that?
Well, I hate the term soft skills. You know, the intent of soft skills means basically you can't measure it, but it also sounds like it is soft. And really, when you look at the people that have success, the leaders that have success, you know, for the most part, they've got the soft skills, the so-called soft skills. You know, that's what makes the difference. You know, very few people are successful on their own. You know, there's a saying I love, an equation. It's we is greater than me. And, you know, in order to get that we, you've got to have the emotional intelligence. You've got to have the compassion. You've got to have the empathy, at least to do it over a sustained period of time.
And I mean, I think it's a bit of a paradigm shift, right? Like you say, the leaders, and I mean, it's evident, I think, for the most part across quite a long period of time that the people who are the most successful have the quote unquote soft skills, right? And they're good at leading their team and they're good at, you know, getting, you know, a good culture built up and they're good at, you know, all these things where, you know, the people who are followed the most and who are admired the most are the people who made me feel good and who are the people who looked out for me and are those kind of people. It's not the guy that could read the P&L the best or forecast the Dow index or, you know, things like that. So I think it's definitely missed and something that needs to be reframed, these hard skills and soft skills. I think there's better terminology that we can use for them.
Yeah. Next project.
Yeah. Next book for you. Talking about compassion and empathy, like, you know, you've said compassion can be definitely involved in some of the tough conversations, uncomfortable situations. But, you know, that's not really much of a downside, I guess. It's kind of a, it's tough, but it's necessary. But like, have you seen any real, any downsides or drawbacks or things that you need to consider when you operate from heart-based leadership?
You know, the biggest thing to consider, I think, is a couple of things. One is that you do realize that it's not all about being soft. Because a lot of times we hear heart, words like heart and compassion, empathy, love, whatever it may be, and our, in, you know, our minds, especially, you know, if we've been, if we've followed certain leaders over time, our minds go to that. Well, that means being soft. And then when you're soft, you end up going the other way. You end up not being empathetic. You end up not being compassionate, because sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to do some things that aren't pleasant in order to have that compassion. So I think that's one of them. The other is, there's still, you know, I think this is changing today, you know, but there's still a perception when you use words like that, like compassion, empathy, love, whatever it might be. People are going to look at your money. You know, there's people are going to look at you as weak. You know, particularly people that have been in leadership roles for a long time and maybe came from a different, you know, school of thought. And so you have to make sure that, you know, you're really doing it through your actions, you know, and not necessarily, you know, you don't walk around and say, you know, compassion, empathy, and love all the time. You know, you understand your audience, but you still act. You know, I came up in the foundry business. You know, I don't even know if I knew what the words compassion, empathy were, but I behaved that, and that was part of my leadership style. So the actions were more important than the words.
For sure. And it sort of requires almost a bit of a degree of bravery still to operate in that style, right?
Yeah, I think we're seeing that now. You know, times are changing in the last couple of years. But it still takes a lot of courage to really, you know, step up and do that. It takes, you know, it takes a lot of courage to be compassionate. You know, when somebody's spouse dies, you know, it can be uncomfortable having conversations with them and spending the time and showing the compassion to them. But it's so important on both a leadership level, but also a human level. So it can be very uncomfortable doing this. But the reward at the end of the day, both emotional and in your success, is tremendous.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, there's like a number of sort of shifts that you've sort of spoken about a little bit during our conversation, and things that, you know, as they change and they continue to change as they have been over the last couple of years, in terms of, you know, kind of fairly large cultural shifts in society and business society, such as, you know, the whole, you know, work-life integration conversation, like whatever. I like how you said, like, you're one person, you're not two, right? And I think that's a big shift that is happened and is continuing to happen, which is important to this conversation. And you know, thing, you know, people who are out there and kind of forging the way, so to speak, such as, you know, Brené Brown, Simon Sinek, and others who are speaking about, you know, servant leadership or bravery or courage or, you know, those kind of subject areas, right? Are shifts in culture that we're seeing that can need to continue to happen. You know, and sort of compassion and empathy becomes more mainstream.
Yeah.
It's in us to do, but we're conditioned the wrong way.
Yeah, it's both innate and learned. Mm-hmm. You know, most people have an innate sense of compassion and empathy. Not all, you know, that's where we get sociopaths. But most of them have us in it. It just has to be enabled.
Right. Yeah.
That's brought out.
Do you think there's any other factors that are at work or that we need to consider in making this more of a mainstream conversation?
You know, I think we have to stop accepting toxicity. And this comes up, you know, a lot. You know, it came up in my professional career. Sometimes stepping up to a toxic employee or a toxic leader is hard. And, you know, because a lot of times they're really good performers, you know, at least in the short run. You know, a lot of times, and you know, I like to tell a story of a VP of sales I used to have working for me, a sales director underneath him that just, or a salesperson, I should say, underneath him that just got tremendous sales. He just killed it and crushed it. He was a jerk. And, you know, people were, you know, just did not want to deal with him. And he stepped up and addressed the issue and he had to let the guy go. And this was a hard decision for him because all of a sudden he's saying this guy was generating 15% of the sales, of the revenue in his business. And, he came back 2 months later and said, you know what? Not only do we get that 15% back, but we're 10% above that even. Because once that toxic person was out of there, the performance of the team stepped up. And, so I've kind of watched that ever since then. And he's done this 3 or 4 times now. And that was as of a couple of years ago, so it's probably more now. And every time, it works the same. It's the same result. And we have to stop accepting the toxic behavior, even when it comes with high performers, because in the long run, they're really holding your performance back.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely seen that in my own career and experience. Like, it's not worth hanging on to the, bullies and, people who throw their weight around kind of idea, right? Like, you end up holding your whole team back because of one person's, perceived performance. So I definitely get that.
I love what you said there, perceived performance.
Yeah.
So many times we think they're high performers, and then when they go away, all of a sudden performance is higher.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're just dominating the field, and everyone's too afraid to do anything outside, what this person permits, because they learn what's appropriate in that person's eyes, and they learn what's appropriate based on leadership's response to that person. Which, I mean, that opens up a whole nother conversation. But, if we're leading with, compassion and empathy, as you've described it today, the compassionate thing to do is sometimes to part ways with that person. Yeah. If they won't respond to the tough conversation about sort of their behavior and attitude, then, the compassionate thing to do is to part ways and allow your team the breathing space to rise.
It's one of the most compassionate things you can do.
Yeah, for sure. What do you feel is one of the most important things you want listeners to absorb from our conversation today?
Really that compassion and empathy works. Putting it at the core of your leadership approach, your leadership style, is not only a nice thing to do, but it works. It's going to get you the results, short, mid, and long term. And just constantly thinking that and understanding that there's probably a lot of forces that tell you otherwise. But at the end of the day, it works, and there's plenty of examples of it.
Well, I think it's an interesting conversation, and I think it's important to consider because, like I said, I feel that we've been so conditioned to operate kind of counter to compassion and empathy, and there's a large body of work, yours included, that is kind of a voice in the wilderness right now for this style of leadership. So I thank you for sharing with us today. Just as we wrap up, a couple of questions for you. What is one thing you know about life or leadership that you wish everyone knew?
It really does get back to, it's the same thing. Being compassionate, having empathy, whether it's leadership or life, really makes a big difference. If you look at the things that have gone on in this world in the last couple of years, it's hard to find any of them that aren't fixed by compassion and empathy. Even in the business world, we look at, the hot topic now, diversity and inclusion, right? If you want to take a look at that from a bigger standpoint, look at compassion and empathy. Because you have diversity, you have inclusion, you have all that when you have that compassion and empathy. Looking at how we handled the pandemic, compassion and empathy handles that. It's just making it through your life, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, is just so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's been a number of highly impactful world leaders there, people like Mother Teresa, for example, yeah. Right? Or, certain, St. Francis of Assisi, like people that operated from, a high degree of compassion and empathy for people and for the world, had huge, huge impacts, on society and the world as a whole. much more, I think, probably than people who ruled with an iron fist. I mean, there's a legacy of sorts, I guess, but it's much viewed much differently.
Yeah. You know, I think if you look at positive impact, for sure, there's a lot of impact, a negative impact that's come out of a lot of the iron fist leaders.
Definitely. Definitely. When it's all said and done, what three words do you want used to describe your life?
Life well lived.
Nice. Very concise. Well, this has been good conversation. Really interesting, I think. And like I said, important conversation to have. And people just really need to kind of maybe self-reflect on how they can show up with heart-based leadership in their own style, whether it's life or business. As we part, Wade, where can people find out more about what you're doing, grab a copy of your book, and maybe connect with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, I'd encourage everybody to connect with me on LinkedIn. You can find me under Wade Thomas, Business Impact Coach. You can also follow me on Instagram, _Wade_Thomas. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. The book's on Amazon. So all you can do is look up Amazon, From the Heart, Wade Thomas. Put my name in there, it becomes a lot easier because Nora Roberts wrote a book by the same, the same title, and she's got more advertising clout than I do.
Okay. Slightly different style of book, I imagine.
I'm guessing.
Awesome. Well, check out the show notes at rashadobalander.com for all those links to connect with Wade and to find out more about his book. Thanks for tuning in this week. Stay awesome.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at R.E. Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.